Chrissy was just saying to me that there's something about being here live. And she said part of it is that music. So, John, as always, what a magician you are. Truly. Thank you. And I also have to say thank you to the people behind the scenes because, you know, I kind of charge in here at 9:10 or whatever. I'm, Susan, I need a binder for this. I need this punched. And then as I was in Sandy's office, I literally took this banner off the wall. And Susan's going, oh, my God. Because last night I was thinking, I wish I had a picture of the chakras. Well, ask and it's given. Sandy, if you're watching this, I'm treating it very, very gently and reverently, and we will put it back right away. But I said to Kevin, oh, let's just hang it over the microphone or whatever. He's like, no, that won't work. So he immediately came up with an easel. And look how, so, you know, there are many angels behind this process, you know. A lot goes on here that you don't see. So thank you to everybody who's not always on the camera. Okay. Well, here I am again. And I say that because if you've been coming to this church for quite a number of years, you know that I've kind of settled into the burning bowl slot. And not necessarily of my intention. A lot of it had to do with Reverend Sandy's intention. I think she asked me the first couple of times, and then I just, because I liked it, I just kind of settled in. And we never traveled over the holiday. We had kids and stuff. So here I am again. But I don't mind that because I have a particular kind of fascination for the burning bowl, and I think that it has secrets to release to us in layers. And that's one reason why I wanted the chakra. Kevin, do the people need to see the chakra when I talk about it, or shall I not worry about that? You'll worry about it. Okay. I think that the burning bowl continues to kind of yield its wisdom to us. And I think maybe I said this before, but one time one of our really long-standing members, many years standing, said to me, oh, you know, I don't go to the burning bowl. I've kind of been there, done that. And to me, I mean, I didn't argue with them, but, you know, to me it's kind of a process that yields, you know, results in an ongoing way. So I said that. Let me turn over here. Don't panic about this notebook. I have big letters in here because that's what I can see. So you see me up here with this notebook, you'll still be home for lunch, okay? So later in the service, I'm going to say a little bit more about the interest in the seven chakras and what that means to me personally and how I'm kind of weaving that into the burning bowl talk today. Let me just say that most of you watching probably know that the chakras do... I'm going to turn this a little bit so people over here can see too, huh? They involve the concept that there are seven energy centers or levels of energy in the body. And it starts with the base chakra down below the root of the spine, which is kind of the energy that anchors us to life and surviving and living. And it goes all the way up to the chakra that's even above the top of the head, which is kind of the opening of our... top of our head, our body, our energy, to the cosmic consciousness, to the greater, spirit of God, or however we choose to call that word. You know, one of the neat things about unity is we don't make you call it something you don't want to call it. You call that energy something that fits you. So as I look around, I'm thinking that there might be a couple of people here who this is their first burning bowl. But I'm thinking that most of you guys kind of know about this and don't need a lot of explanation. For the people who are here today for the first time, we will later go into a process of meditation and discernment and think about what we need to release from our experience. We'll write that down on a piece of paper, and then we will come and symbolically burn it. And I think this is another reason, like, you, of course, at home people should have a candle if you wish, or a fireplace, or someplace safe to light and burn something, like maybe a kitchen sink or something. But there's power in being here because this is a shared ritual and commitment to our own spiritual growth. You know, here in Unity, we are driven on our spiritual journey by our own sense of that interconnection. We don't have a higher power, a human higher power that intermediates between us and God. You know, we don't need to have that power to talk with God. So that puts us kind of as the driver of our spiritual process. We're not waiting for something out there to do it for us. We're the ones. It's kind of the good news and the bad news, I guess. So I want to go now to a slide that shows the 10 most common New Year's resolutions that people make. And you can, in case you're sitting where you can't see them, I'm just going to read through them quickly, number one being the most common. So to exercise more, to lose weight, to get organized. So far, yeah, so far I'm 3 for 3 on that. So there I go, all those. To learn a new skill or a new hobby, to live life to the fullest, to save more money and or spend less money, quit smoking, spend more time with family and friends, travel more, and read more. Now, does anybody have any comments about this any one way or the other? Except for Terry, he can't comment because he knows what, John?
So thank God drinking's
out of it. Yeah, thank God, yes. And they didn't really say much about giving up chocolate, did they? So thank God.
It lasts 2 weeks and then...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That is often the case, and we're going to talk about how that might be different. But when I read these, Kevin, can I stand back as far as the burning bowl, and if I want to have a really, really loud voice, will I still be seen by the camera? Okay. So, seriously? Seriously? Any of you who know me would not have put reading at number 10. I mean, come on, you know? My life is wake up in the morning and start reading, you know? I wouldn't even think of me to put reading on here because that is an integral of a process to me as breathing. You know, you might have said breathe more, but anyhow, I just had a little chuckle because everybody's not like me, but you book lovers in the room might see my point here. So let's think about what is the difference between what we have known and called New Year's resolutions, and I'll bet everybody in the room at one point or another in your life have thought about those resolutions and maybe made some. Unless, you know, some people just plain old don't agree in them. With them, because they do tend to fade in a couple of weeks sometimes. So, but let's just talk a little bit about how the burning bowl differs from making a New Year's resolution, because on the surface it might seem similar. I found a statement by Erin McCabe. That's a woman. She is one of the senior ministers at Unity Village, and sometimes I watch the services from Unity Village. And she had, I think, the best definition of an intention that I've ever seen. And she said that an intention is a goal plus spirit. It's a combination of spirit and a goal. And it strikes me that many typical New Year's resolutions have goals, and good, I'm not knocking them, good goals. We should set goals when we need to, and that's a helpful process. But I think the difference in our idea about this process is that we start to go inside first, and then we look at the things that might change in the outer world. Whereas I think our society and our upbringing has kind of trained us to go into the world first and think that if we do whatever, and poor Terry, he only knows, you know, if I get a dog, if I can buy this book, if we can move to this new house, if I can get this job. There are so many if I can get married, you know, look where that got him, because I had a strong intention about that. But we tend to think if we look to that outer world and we make those things happen, we'll be happy. And as Reverend Sandy said, that is back ass words. Now, I know I can say that because she said that here before. We're having that back ass words if we look to the outer world first and think that those things will make us happy. And God only knows, I've tried, you know, and you probably have too, but I speak from wherewith I know or whatever. So instead of plain old goal setting, and again, nothing wrong with that, not at all, but using the idea of intention suggests that we drop into our core, our center self. And paradoxically, as we do that, we rise up into a higher vibration, which leads us closer to the third eye, which and the crown chakra, which opens to the energies that are more cosmic. And at those levels, some qualities such as intuition, vision, imagination, knowing, spirituality, transcending our ego, boy, is that big, transcending our ego, God consciousness, and wisdom. So some of these higher energies are more available to us as we rise up in our vibration. Okay, talked about that already. I'm looking over. You'll be happy to know that I'm kind of condensing this in my head as I go. So I'm looking over to see, yes, what did I talked about that, Oh, this is really important. And I went back to, I believe it was the first President Bush who made this comment that we needed or could create a something gentler America. What was the other word?
Kinder.
Thank you. A kinder and gentler America. And I think that this process of the burning bowl is a kinder and gentler way of going about this. And for one of the things, this was kind of a paradox to me, so I'm still thinking on it, but I think it was two people, Michael Merdan and Aaron McCabe. I took quite a few of these ideas as a starting point from them, and I can't credit everybody individually, because some just kind of floated by me in other ways. But Michael Merdan said that we start every process, including the burning bowl, with gratitude. Now that kind of set me back on, because he said we need to be in gratitude for that which we are releasing. And indeed, if we're not, if we're angry, resentful, frightened, belligerent, ready to kick that thing out of there by kicking it in its butt, then he says we're not ready to release that because we haven't done some of the inner work. Now, nobody here is going to do this inner work magically and quickly in the next half hour, but it really was something for me to think of, and it made me think of my last New Year's talk, which I'll bet probably any of you even remember. But one of the things I said was that it was a process. We intend, we have our discernment process, we release things, and we don't just walk out of here maybe saying, yippee, thank you, God, unless you have a really strong connection with spirit, and that's how you do feel. But sometimes it's a process of intending and discerning and revisiting and praying that to build on that process that you've laid here. But let's think for a minute. Let's just take the number two goal up there, which is losing weight. And I, again, know from wherewith I speak, you know. And so if I intend, which I have intended for many years in this process, to release some weight. And you think, well, or let's say you want to go to the gym because you have flabby muscles, or you want to have more prosperity because you're always bouncing checks. Whatever you're thinking about often involves an attachment of negative energy, I think. And so I thought, I just took losing weight off the top of my head because that's what came to me. How would one be grateful, be in gratitude for extra weight? Well, I think that it doesn't mean, you know, Reverend Sandy has said, be thankful in everything, not be thankful for everything. Because I thought about, let's just take this old well-worn goal of losing weight. Maybe I'm not extra thankful for those extra pounds, but I could still be grateful for the fact that I live in a society in which food is relatively plentiful, even though the cost is going up some, that we can mostly go to the store and buy what we need. And, you know, that's not true of everybody in the world. That you can be thankful that you have a job, or maybe a husband or wife or partner that has a job, and an income that allows you to buy the food that's out there. You have a home. that includes a kitchen, a stove, a refrigerator, a place to make and store food. You have a car to drive to the grocery store, or you find some way. Or even that maybe you've had a loving background in your family or in your culture, which has linked certain foods to rituals or happy times that you appreciate. And the thought of a birthday cake, because today happens to be my mom's birthday, and Chrissy, she would have been 98 today, so she was close to your mom. And my sister's birthday is in 3 days, so we always had to have two birthday cakes at this time of year, because everybody needed their own. So, you know, those are happy times. So even if we are releasing something that no longer serves us now, aspects of it may have served us in the past. And Michael Murdad went so far as to say that in his experience, he's noticed that linking gratitude with what we release just really helps that process along so much faster. Now, again, this is not a woo-woo process where you just say, oh, thank you, God. God, take the wheel. You know, there are still aspects of living in third-dimensional reality that we need to, you know, take care of, whether it's saving money or setting aside time for our kids or whatever. We don't just expect God to do all of that. So in some ways, if somebody was observing you, they might not know how you got to this idea about money or reading more or whatever, because it would look the same on the outside maybe to them. But there are differences on the inside that you would know that you got there in a different way. So we start, and this will not be new to you, but we start with the belief that there's only one light, one power, one presence, and one essence in the universe. And so if this essence and power is in the universe, it's through the universe, doesn't it make sense that it is in us? We are a particle of God. We are a God spark. That essence is available in us. But sometimes we perhaps don't take the time to call it through and listen to it enough. So that's part of what we're going to do today. And I just want to say there's gratitude for me and for each of you that you showed up here today. It's an important declaration to yourself and to the community that you are willing to step forward. And one of the readers said, you know, you are making a firm demarcation between what was in the past in 2022. So you're dividing. That was 2022. And I'm setting a line here, I'm drawing a mark. This is going to be 2023. So you're being intentional and conscious about what you're doing. And Michael says that we start with a fresh start, a clean heart in the present moment. And because in the now moment, I awaken my consciousness that allows me to have delivered all that I need and what's necessary. And it's in the now moment. It's not in the future or in the past. There's some talk about fire as transformation. I'm not going to go into that. That's been an old method for transforming for a lot of times. But I'm going to give you an example from MASH, because, yes, if you've been here enough to see me, you know that I always have an example from MASH, but I don't look for them. They just find me. But this is where I have to step back a little bit from the microphone so I don't blow out your ears. I'll set it up first. In one episode, there is because this is a Catholic, Father Mulcahy is Catholic, and a Catholic priest who is up higher than him in the bureaucratic hierarchy of the army. So in other words, I guess, you know, Mulcahy kind of viewed this man as his boss. And you know that Father Mulcahy was normally a kind of mild-mannered, agreeable person. And so he had church one morning, and all the people from MASH who normally weren't there were filing out and shaking his hand and going, "Oh, wonderful, Father, the best talk I've ever heard. What a dynamic speaker you are." Just praising him. And after everybody left the room, this visiting priest, who was kind of a big, burly man, and this has body language with it, said, "Father, Not one moment did you have these people in the palm of your hand. You have to reach out and grab them by the collar. Do you understand? Grab them by the collar. Hold them in your hand and make them listen. Make them believe. You will then be the guider of their souls. And Father Mulcahy is going, hallelujah! So, I see, I grew up in the Church of the Brethren, and the Church of the Brethren was a relatively quiet denomination compared to some, I suppose. But I even remember some revival meetings in my childhood where the tone was kind of like that. And I thought, in the evangelical way, perhaps it was thought that the louder and more forceful you spoke, the more you made an impression. But I'm here to remind us that we don't have to yell to get Spirit's attention. And Spirit doesn't have to yell to talk to us. So it's kind of the other end of the spectrum. We know that we don't have to be showy and loud and bombastic. We can just be quiet and receptive. One more thing I think I want to mention. When I started here, Courtney's 32, and we went to the Unity Church in Columbus, Ohio about 3 years before that. So let's go with 35. I really was very impressed with the burning bowl ceremony, and I think I appreciated it where I needed to be, which is kind of at a lower energy level. You write down, you pray, you release. And I remember, in those days, we didn't have flash paper. Now you have flash paper, which kind of burns instantly with no residue and all that. But they gave us, in those days, big pieces of typing paper. And so I would write down everything on both sides, everything I could think of, everything I wanted to tell God, why I wanted to, all that. It's just like, I guess I thought that Spirit would not know what I was doing or needed to do unless I filled up the whole gosh darn paper, both sides. So, that was probably a more ego-driven releasing. But, we start where we are. We really do. And we don't condemn ourselves. We don't judge ourselves. We start where we find the meaning. So now I think, in the process of discernment, I will probably write down fewer words or phrases. But I want to suggest to you that there is no wrong way. And nobody will ever know anyway. You're the only one who will ever see this. You can write anything on that paper that you want. You can release anything, whether it's a tangible object or behavior. Maybe it's a past relationship or a memory. You can release anything. Nobody will know how you do it and what you say. So I guess that leads me to say that now Terry is going to lead us in a meditation which will help us identify those things that we wish to release. And that will be accompanied by a period of discernment, where you just, in discernment, you don't have to make things up. You don't have to draw them out and write them down at that point. You do later, but you don't have to worry that you don't know what it is, because Spirit can lead you to think about that. So you'll write those down, and then Terry and Chrissy will light the burning bowl up here and lead us all in a process of coming up and releasing those things. So now I'm going to turn it over to Terry.